I know Devin. He's a man of high integrity and character, and I think he'll do the right thing. If he feels he's been compromised, if he needs to step aside, I'm sure he will. But until he makes that decision, I'm not concerned with it.
Are you concerned at all that he was viewing what he said was classified information at the White House, then reported it back to the White House?
Well, you got to keep in mind who he works for. He works for the president. He answers to the president.
Does he, or does he work for the constituents of his district?
Well, you do both, but when you're in that capacity, if you've got information, I'm okay with what he did.
Oh, yes. Hey, stupid. Again, guy won a popularity contest. Cut him some slack, right? Wrong. And while we're focused on this, one of the things that kind of hasn't gotten as much play is you still got to remember Jeff Sessions lied under oath during his confirmation. And what we've seen is, according to the Alabama Reporter, they're reporting that nearly 2,000 lawyers have asked the Alabama State Bar Disciplinary Committee to disbar the attorney general from the Alabama State Bar. Good on them. Anyway, let's find out what's going on around the world and what has happened this week. Anything interesting maybe popped around? I've got our good friend Isaiah Poole, communications director there at People's Action. Isaiah, thanks for taking time for us.
My pleasure.
So the I guess Congress now works for the president? Am I getting this right?
Well, unless you look at a sixth grade civics book. I guess working for the president is better than working for the banks, which is what I remember the chair of the House, I believe it was the House Banking Committee, said a few years ago during the Dodd-Frank deliberation.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
They don't, and which tells you something about the mentality of the Republicans in Congress. We know that when they, and I've said this before, when they evoke the phrase the American people, they really don't mean people like you and me.
Not all of us, right.
Right. It's the millionaires and billionaires, or it's in the particular case with Nunes, it was Donald Trump, who's his boss somehow. The Constitution doesn't say that. So there we go.
And, the thing that's scary to me is how many people have come to their defense. I mean, yesterday to me was a huge day. Yesterday was, in my view, the day where the there was there in this whole Russian investigation. And really, I think, should make the American people wake up and go, we have to get to the bottom of this. Not because it's partisan, not because, it's Republicans against Democrats, but because it's the entire foundation of this wonderful experience, this wonderful experiment of self-rule.
Well, do keep in mind, though, that also this week we learned that Donald Trump's approval rating among the American public is at a record low. It's below 40% in most polls. And we've never seen this in essentially the third month of her presidency.
Yeah, 69 days.
Yeah.
It took Nixon 1,659 days to get down that far.
Yeah. So I think there's some optimism to be had here. I think the majority of the American people don't like what they're seeing here, do want an honest investigation, are appreciating what they're hearing on the Senate side, which is a stark contrast to the Republicans in the House, where you have a John McCain and a Mark Warner, saying that this is a bipartisan issue of national sovereignty that transcends politics.
The thing that for me is, again, you keep coming back to all of this information we're seeing about Russia. The thing that's really impressive to me is just how quickly the Republican Party has imploded, because, the rats are scurrying right now, but how they've turned and how they've been, how they're eating each other. And I look at, Trump's tweets, that the Freedom Caucus is, we got to fight them. And you go, what? This quick? We're 70 days into this gig, and already they're eating, cannibalizing each other.
Yes, and you know, it's you know that when you bring a rabid dog into your house, you're going to get bitten, and it's going to be very bad. Okay, and many of the members of the Freedom Caucus jumped onto the Trump train because they thought that they would get a political benefit out of doing that. They now realize what the rest of us have seen all along. And that Donald Trump has doesn't have a clue about governing. He only cares about himself. He only cares about loyalty. The health care bill, which was a wonderful example of this, it was all about getting the political win, and it was not at all about the substance, because the substance was horrible. And the polls said that the, you know, 70-80% of people, including people who were opposed to the Affordable Care Act, did not want this replacement. But it, to Trump, it was not about the substance. It was about the political win and determining, and he wanted the vote, as you recall.
Yeah, I was hoping he would push for it. I was hoping that, and again, you know, the fact that he's come out and said there's a war with the Freedom Caucus is beautiful in my view, but I would have loved to have seen him continue to force that vote.
Yeah, because and it was transparently all about who was loyal to him and who was not.
Right, and I got to wonder if Ryan just said, there's no way I'm doing this, if that's why he backpedaled. Because yeah, cause, you know, in the past, if you didn't have the votes, you wouldn't do that.
Right.
And Ryan's at least, you know, somewhat, you know, rational in how to deal with this stuff. As where Trump's just off the rails, you've got to wonder if it was Ryan who says, I'm just not doing it, which would brought Trump
around.
Well,
it was Trump totally around. Ryan who said that he wasn't going to do it. And you know, Trump had, you know, Trump doesn't control the House, Ryan does. So, you know, you know, what I thought was really fascinating was Donald Trump then picking up the phone and calling a Washington Post reporter, the failing Washington Post, by the way,
right,
and breaking the news that way.
I'll tell you, I mean, you know, they say, may you live in interesting times.
Yeah.
Welcome to interesting times.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of the cannibalizing, you know, one of the things that, you know, caught my attention also this week is, you know, conservatives don't seem to be all that thrilled with their guy, Scott Pruitt, over at EPA. And evidently they're accusing him of going soft.
I don't know. You know, that's going soft. You know, please. Don't show me what hard looks like. Look, we had the president pulling the Clean Power Plan this week. We had also the administration over at the Department of Energy ordering that the phrase climate change and global warming not be used in official correspondence. I mean, you know, this is straight out of 1984.
Yep. And you had Trump, you know, doing the love affair with the clean coal thing, which, you know, again, you know, I'm still trying to figure out how you make it clean. You know, maybe some, you know, some dish soap and a rag. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, there's it's astonishing. What's also astonishing, and people really need to know this. This is the thing that there are two facts that are not being stressed enough. In what President Trump did with the coal miners, which was really just awful. Number one, the coal jobs are not coming back no matter what you do.
Right.
And it's all about the market forces that the Republicans revere. The reality is that natural gas is the wave of the future as far as fossil fuels are concerned. And you know, to the extent to which you're going to have increased coal production, it's going to be mechanized.
Right.
miners in the coal mines digging this stuff like you did 50 years ago.
Right. And also remember that the Chinese are moving away from coal as well. Because understand, in Appalachia, about 3/4 of the coal that's being taken out of the ground right now from West Virginia, for instance, is going to China.
Yeah.
And as they move away from it, of course, you're going to lose more jobs than that. You're absolutely right.
Right. The other thing that people need to know is that the clean energy industries that are going to be undercut by the Trump administration was the sector that is the fastest growing energy segment right now.
Right. So kiss those jobs goodbye.
Right. And, you know, when you have, you know, you have all of this potential for new manufacturing, new R&D, you have a combination of higher level, high skill jobs with the kind of skills that you would need just to do things like install solar panels and things like that, and the number of jobs that can be created if we ramped up on solar installations and wind installations. You know, all of that's being short-circuited potentially, and it's a perfect example of how we are being sold a bill of goods.
Yeah, and to go back to your point, I mean, one of the worst things I think that you know Trump did is it gave Appalachia hope that we're going back to the good old days. And you look at the policies that he's put forth, not going to help them get the jobs back, tried to gut the ACA so that they don't get health care. And this budget that he's thrown out is directly going to affect them because, you know, they have that economic development part in Appalachia specifically for them to replace those jobs that he completely defunded. So you look at all of this stuff, the people that supported him the most, those are the folks that he's kicking in the behind the worst.
And then there's one more thing. In addition, one of the things that are being cut in this Trump budget is worker safety. As the combination of deregulation and cutting things like OSHA inspectors. There aren't enough OSHA inspectors, Occupational Safety and Health Administration workers, inspectors now. And with a labor department that's going to be cut by more than a quarter, roughly between 20-25%, I believe, that only gets worse. Now, Bloomberg Businessweek has an excellent cover story that published a few days ago about the consequences of having that toxic mix of not enough inspectors on the ground who cannot impose fines that are high enough to get the southern auto parts manufacturers serious about worker safety. And you have people in these non-unionized, lightly, if at all, regulated auto plants who are losing limbs, getting burns. There's a story about a guy who was working a 12-hour shift cleaning out the vats of acid. He actually fell in one of these acid vats. I mean, you know, this is stuff that we think only happens in places like Singapore or in India. And it's happening right here in the southern United States.
Scary, scary, scary times.
Very scary stuff.
And as I've been saying,
it's the Trump voters who get hurt the most.
Exactly, and they want to take us back 100 years to the good old days of the '80s and nineties, and not the 1980s and nineties. Before I let you go, I got one last bit I got to get to. Gorsuch, do the Democrats have the spine to filibuster?
I can tell you this: we are. A number of coalitions of groups, including a lot of our affiliates, are really going out. We're going all out on this to try to put pressure on these Democrats. I don't know the outcome because I think that it's going to be very tough to get some of these senators to say, look, I am willing to let the Republicans blow up the process. There is a good reason why we have a we allow filibusters for Supreme Court justices, because that compels both sides to nominate judges that the other side, or at least some people on the other side, are willing to support. It encourages moderation. But the Republicans want to disrespect that. If they want to blow that up and they want to say, you know, go back to the days when presidents could pack courts for political purposes, which ends up putting our entire judiciary in disrepute, then let the record show that that's what they're going to do.
Absolutely. And I say you've got to force it this time because you've got the high ground. This is the stolen seat. Because understand, if there's another justice up in 6 months or a year, they're going to go new. They're going to do it anyway. We know they're going to do it anyway. So this idea of we save, keep our powder dry is nonsensical. Because the reality is, once it's over, the only thing you've got is, well, dry powder.
Yeah, I mean, and I can't argue against that. I mean, I wish I had a counter argument. I just don't. You're absolutely right.
And that's why we've got to be calling, tweeting, emailing all of that stuff to our senators and say no, because at this point only two Democrats, Manchin, which we knew, and Heitkamp, have come out and said that they're going to support Gorsuch.
Right. And so, yes, get on the phone and say, yeah, I mean, Gorsuch is not the kind of justice that we need, particularly in at this time.
Yeah. Good stuff. Isaiah, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you.
Always great talking to our friend Isaiah Poolkamp, our People's Action. You want to check out their website? We'll get a link at therickSmithShow.com. Quick break, right back. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show.